Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. We just finished the Pittsburgh Pirate Podcast with Tarek Brock live from Atlanta. Now it's the Breaking It Down Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, live in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. Goes by quick, so you can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, I'm blessed to bring another legend into this great show, and that is Tim Neverett, the broadcaster from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tim, first of all, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm blessed to cherish this great interview we have for the next 15 minutes. And how can people get a hold of you, my good friend, if they want to, which I think they will?
Through Twitter or Instagram, easiest ways probably, just at Tim Neverett, easiest ways to find me. We're doing something on Twitter each day when I'm broadcasting games, so I'll check it pretty much almost every day. So it's just at Tim Neverett, it's the easiest way.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, this road trip, you're in San Francisco now, you leave Chicago, kind of a contrast in cities, man, great food, great people. Take us through that. You win 2 out of 3 in Chicago, and now you're spending the weekend in NoCal.
Yeah, it was, we lucked out with the weather in Chicago. Yesterday we had a day game and it was perfect weather, so that was nice. But the better thing was the Dodgers won, and for a while there it didn't look too good because the White Sox starting pitcher, Dylan Cease, through 4 innings was tough. He struck out, 6 or 8 through the first four innings. But the Dodgers ended up finding a way in the fifth where they batted around and then put 4 more up in the sixth. Max Muncy came back from AAA after an injury rehab and, took some time to work on his swing, but he had just flown in that morning, yesterday morning from Oklahoma City, and hits a 3-run home run. He ended up with 5 RBIs in the game, too. So it was a big day for Max Muncy, a big day for the Dodgers. They secured the win, and that's what it was about. And especially since they just came off their worst homestand in years, a 2-5. To win 2 out of 3 against the White Sox is a big deal. Now, here in San Francisco, and the job is to win now. You've got divisional games in front of you, and you got 3 pretty good pitchers going. Looks like Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, and Julio Urias will go over the weekend, and Dodgers are hoping to win this series too.
Yeah, and then when you look at that pitching, I mean, we didn't see the Catman coming. He's 7-0. Tyler Anderson's there racking up right behind him. Boy, these guys have solidified that starting pitching rotation. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Tyler started yesterday, and this was really, I think, his first off day. He needed to have a good changeup, and it wasn't quite there. And as a result, White Sox hit some of his other pitches, but he left the ball game with a deficit and ended up getting a no decision. So he's still 7-0. The night before, Tony Gonsolin pitched, and he just continues to dazzle. This is a guy right now who leads the National League in ERA. He is among the leaders in batting average against, which is very low, still under 200, and is 7-0. And, people forget it was just a couple of years ago he started the decisive game of the World Series. He has a chance to be an all-star. I would think that if he has one more start like that, I would think not only would he be an all-star, but he might have a chance to start in the all-star game at Dodger Stadium on July 19th. So imagine this kid's career. If you look at it within a 2-year period, he's going to start the decisive and winning game of the World Series, and then could be an all-star, less than 2 years later. I mean, it's just really a great story for Tony Gonsolin, and love the way that he's figured things out. He really has. I mean, his changeup has been very good. His split change is his big pitch. His slider's great. He's got so much more confidence than I've ever seen in terms of him, you know, taking the mound and commanding everything about the ball game. So if they continue to get outings with, you know, at least 6-7 innings out of Tony Gonsolin the way that he's pitched, he's one of the better pitching stories in baseball right now.
Yeah, and then you look at that top of the batting lineup, I mean, with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Trey Turner, those three, you can match them up with anybody in baseball.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because we were commenting on the broadcast yesterday on radio that the Dodgers scored 11 runs and Mookie Betts went 0-for-6. When would you ever see the Dodgers scoring double digits in runs and see Mookie not involved at all? I mean, he didn't even get on base. But that's just a rare, rare day for Betts. I mean, I'm expecting him. He had one hit in the series against Chicago and played every game. But I look at this San Francisco series, I'm expecting Mookie to kind of break out. It's just the law of averages. I would think he might have a big game tonight or tomorrow. He's just wonderful to watch. He's a major league leader in runs scored. He makes things happen. He's the National League leader, tied with Pete Alonso of the Mets for home runs. You know, his numbers are really, really good. And defensively, he's outstanding to watch. Same with Freddie Freeman. You know, we watched Freddie Freeman from afar when he was with the Braves, and you say, wow, that's a really good player. I mean, he's a 2020 MVP in the National League, and last year he had a great year winning the World Series. And you'd say, hey, this guy's great, right? But when you get to see him every day and you see the little things, like the way he runs the bases and the way he carries himself, I'm even far more impressed with Freeman now than I was when, you know, we watched him just beat up on other teams, including the Dodgers. And then, you know, Trey Turner, there's a reason he's the defending National League batting champ. He's had hits in, 29 of his last 30 games. You know, he had a big, had a key infield hit. And I think last year he had like 70-something infield hits. So he can really run. His range at shortstop is showing. He has, been a very good defensive shortstop. And it's just so fun to watch those three hitting in order. I mean, you've got three guys who should be perennial all-stars, the top three in the order. They really set the table and set the tone every night.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, what's impressive also is at 19, a lot of kids coming out of school are working in Chick-fil-A's and McDonald's and everything. You had a nice fill-in role as a play-by-play announcer for the Nashua Pirates, a minor league baseball team, and you're basically hometown there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just finished my freshman year of college and was going to play, I was playing baseball, so we didn't have these college wood bat summer leagues back then. We had what was called, you know, semi-pro baseball. And so you're not playing with other college kids for the most part. You might have a couple of them on your team, but you might have guys who are in their, you know, mid to late 30s with, you know, full beards and pot bellies and everything. They're pitching against you. And it was an aluminum bat league. So this is what we did. So I'm playing that, and I had an opportunity to intern with the AA club that was in my hometown, and I had to make a decision at one point because once I started going out there, they're like, "Hey, we like having you out here doing all these extra things for us." And besides, one of us is going to start taking vacation time, and would you like to do an inning every now and then? And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." So once I started doing an inning here and there, they realized that they could take time off because they didn't work for the team. These guys had regular full-time jobs at the radio station and other things. And, you know, the baseball was just an extra thing for them. So then they needed time off. So it got to a point where on the 4th of July, I was doing both ends of a doubleheader by myself at age 19 and continued to do things like that throughout the rest of the season. So I ended up doing a good chunk of games. And as a result, I had to give up playing semi-pro baseball because it just wasn't going to work out time-wise. I couldn't be in two places at once. And I figured, well, my path to professional baseball probably is going to be as a broadcaster and not as a player because I didn't get drafted out of high school. And even though at the time when I was 18, I had two teams that asked me to fill out information cards. That's about as close as I came to getting drafted. The Cubs and the Expos asked me to fill out cards for their scout that was watching us at a tournament, and never heard from either one of them. So I think my best chance was as a broadcaster, as opposed to trying to make it as a player.
Well, I don't want to intercept the nice breakfast there in San Francisco with about 5 minutes left in this great show. You worked for three great organizations, traditions. When you look at Pittsburgh, the Roberto Clemente Bridge, Boston, Martha's Vineyard, you can talk about the North End, and now you find yourself in L.A., Hollywood and the Glitz. Take us in a couple minutes to reflect on those three adventures because, man, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. It was a situation, actually, where I started with the Colorado Rockies filling in and used that tape when the Pittsburgh Pirates had an opening, and that got me the job with the Pirates. They said, this is just what we're looking for, and I loved it there. I loved it there. I still love it there. I love the people. I love the ballpark. I love living there. The only reason I left was because I'm from New England. My parents were sick, and so they needed my help. And my sister needed my help, and so I could continue to do Major League Baseball. So had an opportunity to do radio with the Red Sox for 3 years, and I don't regret it because it's time that I got to spend with my parents before they both passed. And just before my mother was going to pass, she told me, you don't need to be here anymore, and you need to take that job offer with the Dodgers. So I did, and went out to L.A. and back doing television and radio. Like tonight I'll do TV. I just did the series on radio with the White Sox. I'll do TV with the Giants this weekend. And I go back and forth and really love the job. And I see a lot of winning baseball, but I've been really lucky to be around two World Series winners. I still hope the Pirates win it one day. I really do. And I was hoping to be part of that. But at least I was part of three winning seasons. And they haven't had winning seasons since. But I really appreciated my time in Pittsburgh, and I look back at that very fondly. And there are a lot of days where I wish I didn't leave, but, things are meant to be, and I'm in a good spot now with the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Well, I think the ideal situation would be to play the Pirates for the National League championship. That way you can go back to Pittsburgh and, enjoy the life in L.A. and then have the World Series L.A. and Boston.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You can't pick the opponents. They just happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be nice. It'd be great. I just hope Pittsburgh can get better again. I really do. I see what's happening there now. And we're in June and they're already, letting the kids play, and that's great for the prospects in the organization. But, and they've won some games. They took care of the Dodgers. That's for sure. They went 5-6 against the Dodgers this year. And, we thought that the Pirates were going to start planning the parade route, but I think that, they played very well. Everything they did worked. They played exceptionally well against the Dodgers. And if they can put that together more often against other teams, I think that could be a fun time in Pittsburgh. But they still need a lot more, and they're still kind of far away from all that.
Yeah, as we wrap this thing up, tell us who your mentor was. What got you involved in baseball besides your parents?
Well, I mean, getting involved in baseball for me and my my family was always involved in baseball. My mentor in broadcasting really was a gentleman in Las Vegas named Bob Bloom. When I was lucky enough to get the job working with the AAA club in Vegas, he was the guy that hired me, got me involved in the club, and then literally would sit next to us during the broadcast and produce the games. And he taught me more about broadcasting than I could have ever learned at any university. I mean, it was really Baseball Broadcasting University, and he did it in such a great way. And I'll never forget what he did for me. And when I got my first full time job, I made two phone calls. One was to my parents, and one was to Bob Bloom.
Wow.
And then I called everybody else after that. Those were the two priorities at that time when I first got a full-time gig in the big leagues. But he was the guy, and they've named the press box after him in Las Vegas. And he's always remembered, and he passed several years ago, But he's still remembered exceptionally fondly by many. And, you know, another guy who he helped out quite a bit was Ken Korak, who's a longtime broadcaster with the Oakland Athletics. And he's just helped so many people. And I think he got more enjoyment out of seeing other people have success and just the kind of guy that he was.
Yeah, definitely. Money comes and goes. Relationships are priceless. I'm going to cherish this interview. Do me a favor. Take care of the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, that's the plan. Try to do it every night. You can only do it one day at a time. But, yeah, that's the plan. Dodgers-Giants, great rivalry. They're expecting great crowds. Should be just a wonderful weekend. Hopefully the Dodgers can win at least 2 out of 3, maybe sweep them. Who knows?
Well, I have a gleam in my eye basically listening to you tonight. Thank you very much for this interview. We got to do this again, my friend. You're a blessing, and I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity to talk to you today.
Mark, appreciate it very much. Thank you.
That's Tim Neverett. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. For Tim, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying thank you very much for listening, and have a blessed weekend.